is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shawali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place
well,
to go.
Happy holidays, everybody. Good snow, morning. Fantasy Showtime. How about that? A little holiday-themed music coming in. And boy, show, that is that little uptick in positivity. Boy, is it needed. Because the NFL, the sports world, the world in general is a mess. So yeah, the little sultry tunes of Tones of Frank Sinatra on a Sunday morning. Always a good time. Andy McNamara, Shawali, Fantasy Showtime, Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. How you doing, sir?
Good, Andy. Does the sound of old Blue Eyes make your small heart grow several sizes on this Sunday morning?
still like a heart size smaller than most people, but slightly larger, yes.
Okay. All right, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
still, what I was, still grinchy.
That's what I was going for today on this, this cold morning.
Any Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Rat Pack holiday theme song immediately gets me in a good mood, for real.
What about like Michael Bublé? He's kind of a modern version of those guys, I'd say.
I like Bublé. I liked him better. Like, he's got his original stuff once in a while isn't bad.
Okay.
But I liked him when he first came out and he was doing like the recreations of these songs. I thought he did a really good job there. But, you know, the original stuff, some I can take, some I can leave.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Good overall.
Yeah, I agree.
Does fun commercials.
Bubbly, Bublé, yeah.
Yeah. I get it. I'm like, yeah, it's a wordplay. I see what he's doing. So, one of them wordplay jokes. I get it.
Yeah,
Very good.
It's crazy to think, Andy, that we are less than a week. Like, a week today, it will be Boxing Day. Like, less than a week from today will be Christmas, right? I mean, happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everyone out there, right? Because the next time we come back, Christmas will be over. Which is kind of funny, right? Like, I know we'll be on the air on the morning of Boxing Day, so everyone will be enjoying hopefully some time off, or hopefully at home with their family or their friends, or relaxing, you know, whatever it is people do for their particular Christmas Boxing Day celebrations. But and I guess it's better that it's a weekend this year. But boy, I mean, it's kind of crazy that 2021 is almost in the books, isn't it?
And it's also crazy that it feels like the exact same situation we were all in a year ago. Remember, I've never understood. Like, I get it, you know, time, humans put, you know, dates on stuff and things. But it's like, oh, just wait till January 2021. Then it's a different calendar. And then everything gets better. Well, not so much.
I know.
Not so much.
It's pretty crazy.
Oh, it's nuts. But one thing is for certain show, and that is the NFL will play its games with borderline corpses. They're like, human bodies are getting out, and they're playing these games for our network television that is paying billions of dollars, and you're going to like, there's no talk of cancellation or half crowds or safety. It's like, we're going to pack it to the brim. You're going to play with no matter who. We might move a game or two, which they did. That was a little surprising. And these games are going to be played, and guess what? You're going to watch it. And they're right. I'm going to watch every bit.
Yeah, look, come hell or high water, these games are being played, Andy. It doesn't matter. Like, the Super Bowl is happening. It's being handed out this year. It doesn't matter who's on that roster, but it's happening. And I think that's essentially the message I think the NFL sent when they changed the protocols this past week. I guess it was it yesterday they changed it, or Friday they changed it? But either way, this past week it was changed for vaccinated players. Some things were changed, and for unvaccinated players, the daily testing remains in effect. But for vaccinated players, they've changed it now. So like a whole host of different things happens, and now position groups will be tested at different times and so on. It's just, I guess that something had to change, I suppose. But I think that this is really, like you said, this is just a sign that no matter what happens, NFL games will not be canceled. They might be moved by a couple days, but no games are getting canceled, which is kind of crazy. I mean, I thought the rule going into this season, because you and I were talking about this at the very beginning of the year, at least as far as it pertained to fantasy football, because remember there was the whole talk of like, if one team has an outbreak, they're going to have to like forfeit their games, and you know, they'd
have
not
vaccinated.
It was something like that, and it was all had to do with quote unquote like fault and blame and whose fault it was and so on. So if one team had an outbreak and screwed another team, then they would have to be like responsible for paying the fines and the fees associated with like moving the game and like travel and all sorts of things. I mean, look, the Browns getting a handout from the NFL, Andy. The Raiders
about damn time.
The Raiders getting screwed by the Browns. No, I'm kidding.
Good. Been getting hosed by the NFL and everybody else since 1999. Too bad, Raiders and everybody else.
I think
they get
mostly,
a break for
they
once.
They mostly hosed themselves, I think, Andy.
They did. Well, you know what? You mentioned the COVID protocols updates as of most recent, which could change at any moment. Let's hear from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport as he gave us an update late yesterday.
Pretty dramatic change to the COVID-19 protocol, something the NFL and the NFLPA decided upon and agreed to over the last, that they've been discussing the last couple of days, agreed to today based on the Omicron variant, which really has changed the face of COVID. The new testing or the new protocols will mean targeted testing. No longer are fully vaccinated, asymptomatic people going to be tested weekly. It is going to be targeted. In other words, sample testing, much more random and much fewer testing. It also means that they're going to focus on screening for symptoms rather than just testing everyone. They also, the NFL has encouraged everyone to get a booster, believing that is the best way to keep everyone safe and to keep people from getting sick. As Roger Goodell said in a memo to everyone across the NFL, this variant is more contagious, but the symptoms are much less severe. About two-thirds of the people on the COVID-19 reserve list right now are asymptomatic.
So there you go. Ian Rappaport from NFL Network with the update from the commissioner's office. And so I guess it just comes down to, all right, most players are vaccinated. Looks like asymptomatic for the most part and mild symptoms. So they're tweaking things so that it's one test, it might be a test. And it looked like, Joe, and J.C. Treader, center for the Browns, who's the NFLPA union rep or captain, whatever you call him.
Right.
And he came out, he was like, the NFL was pretty much saying, I'm paraphrasing, but was pretty much saying, using the old Donald Trump strategy of just don't test.
Yeah.
And then there won't be cases.
Yeah, no, I guess. Like, I mean, I guess.
That was it.
I guess he's not. I guess they're not wrong technically, but yeah, what? That's not. I don't know if that's the best strategy.
It's the Wile E. Coyote strategy show. It's the Wile E. Coyote from the old Roadrunner, right. Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Right.
He would run off the cliff, and if he just didn't look down, he would keep running.
Yeah.
But as soon as he looks down, then he fell. So it's like, I guess it's like, well, if you don't test, then you won't get the virus.
Yeah. Whenever I think of that, I think of like the coyote. Like he runs off the cliff and then he looks down and he holds up a little sign that says "uh-oh" and then he falls to his death. Or essentially,
yeah,
right? So
it's falls a million and then plummets. But it's all over the place. So games. So if you're keeping track, folks, and this says the fantasy implications of this are huge. And really, we don't know who is going to be available players we thought who were out with COVID may be back, but there is now the two Monday night games. So the Browns game that was supposed to be yesterday versus the Raiders moved to Monday, 5 p.m. Eastern. The 8:15 start Vikings-Bears normal Monday night football game still stands. Now two Tuesday games, both starting at 7 Eastern, Seahawks at Rams and Washington at Eagles. And for Washington show, it's a case where if they would have played the game, they had Taylor Heinicke and backup Kyle Allen out. They were going out with Kyle Shurmur, Pat Shurmur, failed head coach and good offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur's son, Kyle.
Gosh, he's the quarterback. He's the third stringer? I didn't even know that.
He's the third.
I didn't even know he was a quarterback. I didn't even know Pat Shurmur had a son who played in the NFL, honestly.
Well, play is a strong word,
loose
Joe.
Term,
He's, participating in, you can go into NFL buildings.
Right.
And they might sign our old buddy Garrett Gilbert. Remember him and DiNucci, started that one game for Dallas last year.
We used the Garrett Gilbert, the one start we've used Garrett Gilbert and joked about like his play in that one game for the better part of a year. So if he plays again, boy, we're going to milk that joke, run it right into the
Let's
ground.
Let's go. Let's go. And still Garrett Gilbert, think about this, folks, Garrett Gilbert, Kyle Shurmur, as borderline of a NFL rosterable player as they are. And some would say they should not even be rostered. Still make more money than probably how many people combined on this show and our listener base for being like the worst. And you still make tons of cash. So he can, like, that's why I think these guys don't care. Garrett Gilbert's like, yeah, I guess I'm not very good. Oh, well, jumps into his Lamborghini. Right? See you later.
I just looked it up. In 2019, Kyle Shermer made $136,000 from the Chiefs. In 2020, $142,800 from the Bengals. And this year, he got another raise. He makes $165,600 from Washington. So there you go.
There you go. Yeah, for not playing.
Yeah.
For sitting around trying to stay in shape. It's not bad.
More money than both of us make. And Santos. We'll add Santos in there. More money than all three of us make put together. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Santos. Yeah.
He's like, oh, hey, you don't have to say it. Our poor Josh Santos, our technical director, he's a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, so we got to talk about that for a minute.
Do we have
Urban
to?
Meyer,
we don't have to talk about it.
Well, I kind of want to because Santos is here. So, yeah.
All right.
But he's like, Urban Meyer did some half tell-all with Schefter or Rappaport, one of the insider guys, and like, I love the players, I love Jacksonville. Like, you might have wanted to have expressed that better than in your time of employment. And now Shad Khan is trying to, with cause termination, which means they won't have to pay him the remaining 4 years and all that. What I read this morning from Adam Schefter was it was not one specific incident, but their case is just going to be a pile of incidents and just essentially like, look, this is why we should not be paying him. If you put all that in front of a judge, I don't know how you come back and pay that man.
Yeah, I guess it's crazy to think that the kicker for getting him out of there was literally a story about a kicker, right? Like the whole Josh Lambeau thing. And I mean, hey, like Urban Meyer, he has no one to blame really but himself, right? With all the stories about the coaches, yeah. And like he berating the assistant coaches and making them
happy. He hired.
That he hired, yeah.
Your resume.
Oh, come on.
The one that you read and hired me off of?
Like Daryl Bevel is the now interim coach. And of course, he was the offensive coordinator. And I mean, Daryl Bevel, he has a Super Bowl ring. That's not something Urban Meyer has, right? I mean,
he's a respected coach, assistant coordinator. Yeah.
Yeah. Bevel was I think he was an offensive coordinator and then later an interim head coach, I think with the Vikings. And then he was with the Seahawks for the runs to the Super Bowl and the Legion of Boom era and so on. Right. So he was 1-1 in the Super Bowl. It's crazy to think that by the end of Bevel's career, he could have more wins as an interim head coach than Urban Meyer had as an actual head coach, which is kind of wild.
Yeah, Herb's got to take a year off, rejig the image, maybe come back as a college TV analyst and forget about the NFL. Not happening for you, Herb.
Yeah.
Not happening for you. Now, what I will say, Show, is I think this firing is phenomenal news for James Robinson of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I would slam start James Robinson in every possible type of league you can today. I think this is going to be a case for the Jaguars where they use this. This just feels, Show, like a rallying cry for that team where it's just going to feel like a weight lifted off of their shoulders. That mean man, Urban Meyer, is gone.
The Grinch.
The Grinch is gone. It's us against the world. James Robinson's going to be in there. Everybody wants him to play because it's not James Robinson's fault. It's Urban Meyer's fault that he was just benched pretty much and seldom used the last two games. So against the Houston Texans, because we've been getting some questions. And by the way, 590-590, name and location.
We have a lot
Twitter.
Of questions today, Andy. I'll say that. We have a lot of questions.
Bring them
already.
In. Yeah. That's why it's the People's Text Line. Twitter, too, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. James Robinson, I feel, against the Houston Texans show is just an absolute smash start. I think we see a really big game and a big win from Jacksonville today.
Here are the stats for the Texans, right? They allow the most rushing yards, the second most rushing touchdowns, and the fifth most fantasy points to running backs. So I would imagine, I mean, look, I think Trevor Lawrence is still going to be pretty good in the NFL, but after seeing him throw four picks, what was it just last week, I think you are better served handing the ball off a million times to James Robinson. Like, as many times as is humanly possible. James Robinson, he should be getting like 35 carries today
the
Houston Texans. Yeah, like it's funny because Bevel, of course, I think one of the most infamous play calls of his career may be that the Seattle offense was on like the 2-yard line and didn't hand it off to Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson throws a pick in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'll say this, if we have any situation today where the Jags offense is like within the 5-yard line mark area, right in the red zone, and they don't call a running play, boy, I bet you NFL Twitter is just going to explode in real time. Just the disdain.
It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening again. Oh no, it's happening again. But
he's like, it'll work this time.
Yeah, I think you're right though. It's a smash spot for James Robinson, and I mean, I think he might be the only player from that entire game I'd feel like really comfortable about starting. Like maybe Brandon Cooks, like as usual, but like if you're starting anyone other than Cooks and Robinson from either team, I think you like, you know, look elsewhere maybe.
This is a game, like I don't know if I'll watch the game show because it's
gonna be
pretty bad.
You will.
But I'll at least like check in because I want to see just how the Jags respond. But you're right. It is James Robinson. It is Brandon Cooks. And that's it. And show for those who are in have the fantasy football playoff bye week. I do in one of my leagues. Whew! This is a great week to have a bye. This is a great week to not have to worry about setting your lineup in fantasy playoffs. Just like relax and like, oh man, just see how this nonsense plays out. Because otherwise, there's the strategy. And my advice, sort of a blanket wide statement, show is. If you are on the fence about a player, about two players, and one is playing today and one is playing Monday or Tuesday, I would say play today's player. Get your guy in as soon as possible because we don't know what the heck's going to happen as far as COVID tests or positive tests for those other players later. Yeah. It seems like a gamble. Nothing extreme, but if you're on the if it's close, I would side with going with the player that's supposed to actually suit up today.
You know, it's funny. I in the league you have the buy-in. I'm guessing that's the league that you and I are in because you have the buy-in in that one.
That's right.
And it's funny because you are the number one seed. I would say basically all year until last week when our coworker Daniele, and Daniele is I would say probably the best producer at the station. And Daniele produces the Fan Morning Show. And Daniele smoked your team last week. Like, my God, that was a beatdown last week, Andy.
Man. Listen, folks, it was a gong show. I'm going to make excuses. It was injuries. I'm going to Urban Meyer it. I'm going to ask my fantasy. I'm going to ask the fantasy but for their qualification. Why? Why did it go like that? Like, oh, man. Well, the thing is, I had James Robinson. So no one was happier than Urban Meyer getting fired than me. That dude gave me 0.4 points, and I had Travis Kelce 4.2. Boom, ball game right there. What am I supposed to do, right? I'm not going to start Travis Kelce.
Yeah, no one's benching Travis Kelce for any reason.
No.
Hey, I mean, look, and if you know, someone actually asked me this this past week, like before the Thursday nighter, should I play Kelce or Gronk? And I mean, I think that's like, it's not a terrible question considering how great Gronk has been this year, but the other half of that is, why should you ever bench Travis Kelce, right? Really, even though the Kansas City offense has been a little, like, wonky, I suppose, so far, like, more so than they usually are, let's put it that way, over the course of the entire season. Like, I guess I, in theory, understand the question, but, I mean, like, you probably drafted Travis Kelce, like, in the first round, right? Like, there's no real reason to bench him. So, hey, I hope everyone out there did actually keep the faith in Travis Kelce and the Kansas City offense because, good God, he absolutely annihilated the Chargers, including that win on Thursday night.
Well, I could have used that 30 plus points last week. That would have helped.
Well, you know what, Andy? If I win, I'm actually playing Vic, our old producer, our old technical producer, Vic. I'm playing Vic this week, and it's very close right now. And he and I both have a number of players playing on Monday and Tuesday and so on. But if I win, because you're now the number two seed and I'm the three seed, we're locked in to a matchup in the next week's so if I don't win if I don't win I'm checking out of this league 100%. But we'll be talking about it next week.
Oh man, that'll be a fantasy showdown.
Yeah,
I can't wait. That's gonna be interesting. But yeah, that overtime game, Chiefs and Chargers, fantasy gold all around. That was great. The Saturday game. How about your How about your Patriots? Have a little McCorkle.
Yeah, that was probably the first time all year where he's like really looked like a rookie. He looked like
Clutch.
Yeah,
he's a choker.
Oof. You would know, right? Right, Andy? You watched Baker Mayfield for a couple of years, so
yeah, lousy. He's won a playoff game. Baker Mayfield's won a playoff game. Mac Jones might too. And how about that throw out the Pittman? Like, I know he sort of wrestled back after getting like just blindside pushed from behind. Good lord!
Yeah, it's funny. I put Pittman in my start set article for sportsnet.ca as a sit just because I figured he wouldn't get a lot. I didn't really think this would be a really good game for any pass catcher.
No.
And it wasn't really. Like, I think the only skill position player for this entire game outside of Jonathan Taylor was Hunter Henry, who I think had a monster game. But I mean, outside of those two guys, like, if you started basically any player, like, I guess Kendrick Bourne in full PPR leagues, I think he had like 9.2 or 9.3 points. And maybe Jacoby Myers had close to 9 points as well in full PPR leagues. But like, if you're in a standard league and you started anyone whose names are not Jonathan Taylor or Hunter Henry, you probably felt a little disappointed, right? And like,
absolutely.
Like Carson Wentz, like he was like both quarterbacks were, I thought, pretty bad in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, generally speaking, the Patriots offense just wasn't great, and the defense wasn't as stellar as they usually have been. So that's going to be a real life football. That's going to be a really interesting battle now for the AFC East because they play Buffalo next week. So if Buffalo wins, they're back in the driver's seat, right? So
fascinating.
But the Colts offense and the Patriots offense left much to be desired last night.
Carson Wentz threw the ball 12 times. McCorkle Jones threw it 45 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Jonathan Taylor, you said the monster night, of course, 170 yards on the ground. Good Lord. Just a touchdown. I'm just looking. The Colts receiving core, show if you want to talk about, now he 5 completions for Carson Wentz out of those 12 passes, by the way. At least he spread the ball around. No receiver had more than one catch. Pascal, Hilton, Hines, Pittman, and Doyle each with one catch.
Yeah, that's brutal.
That sucks.
I will say, I think Mo Alie-Cox did get, it was a bit of a high throw, but he did like have a pass, like a touchdown pass in the end zone, glance off it, like it went right through his hands. So I think like if he had completed that, we're probably having a different discussion at the very least about Cox and the red zone targets and so on, but ultimately he didn't catch it. So I guess that's why we're like, it's not really a big talking point today, but it did go like right, like Carson Wentz, it was a pretty decent throw, but again, ultimately didn't result in a touchdown. I think that was actually the play that ended up on I want to say maybe the next play was the Nyheim Hines touchdown, maybe. But either way, I think ultimately speaking, I think Colts offense, they need to get it together. They're kind of an up and down team. But then again, this whole year in the NFL, parity has brought about some really strange results this year, right? Like for basically every team in the NFL, it's kind of strange to say.
Yeah. Well, even we are ready to crown the Patriots again, right? It was, all right, they got this figured out and all. And then, I'm not saying they don't have it figured out going forward, but they didn't yesterday. So now, like you said, all right, Bills win today. Well, you got the AFC East on the line next week.
Yeah.
Like, it's all right there. Every AFC North is a dogfight. AFC South, you have the Titans and the Colts. You know, the AFC West, like technically, the Denver Broncos are still in this thing for a wild card.
Yeah, it's gonna be a crazy finish to the year, right? Still 4 weeks left. You know, every division's still up in the air. I think I'm ready to say the Chiefs are going to win the AFC West just because they seem to have like really gotten their bleep together in the last month or so, right? Like certainly the win over the Chargers on Thursday was a big part of that because it's a divisional game. But just generally speaking, the Chiefs have not looked as disjointed as they did in the first like 2 months of the season, let's say. But every other division, like you said, I mean, the Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers, literally any one of those teams can win the division. I think technically the Dolphins are still in it in the AFC East, and that division, that season for the Dolphins actually, I think, ends with a game against the Patriots, and they already beat the Patriots in week one of the season. So I mean, like, that's going to be like that's still in play, right? So there's a lot of really exciting football left to be played down the stretch. One more month, 4 more weeks of the season to go, leading into January. I think it's going to be really exciting, Andy.
The NFC though, show if I'm looking, that's where it's less interesting when it comes to division winning battles, the wild card spots, like Dallas, they're winning the NFC East. They're up by three games on Washington and Philly. Green Bay's running away with it. Every other team's under 500. Tampa Bay's running away with it. Every other team in the NFC South under 500. NFC West, that's where it does get tighter because you got the Cardinals 10-3, Rams 9-4, 49ers hanging around 7-6. So that's really the only interesting division battle, the NFC West. But otherwise, yeah, like it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. Now, Show, before we break, our Danger Zone picks last week.
Yes, please.
We were looking pretty good.
Yeah, we were actually. I mean, I feel like most weeks we make some pretty like outlandish predictions. And you know what? We've come close a handful of times, I would say, right? But last week we actually both came, I think, the closest we've ever come. You were, because both of our predictions basically were wide receiver X hits double digits and they score a touchdown. That was our predictions last week. So you went with Braxton Berrios, not Berrios, that's yes. The Blue Jays pitcher. You went with Braxton Berrios, honey on the Berrios, put some milk on there too. And I went with Canadian Josh Palmer as Keenan Allen was out for the Chargers. And Berrios had 10 targets, 6 catches, and 52 yards. So in PPR leagues, he ended with 11.2 points. Well, he didn't get the touchdown, but still, I think in the spirit of things, that's like a half win, I would say, right? Because
I think
Because I think like most of the, I would say the Danger Zone picks when we go with them are like they're essentially like DFS plays. Is essentially what they are. It's kind of how I think of them, right?
And his return yards. And I'm in one league, my other league, because you were like, what are you talking about? I was like, he got me 20 fantasy points. I'm in a league that counts like kick and punt return yards. And that one, he got me 20 fantasy points.
Stop it. Get some help.
I'm looking right. If you're in one of those very, very rare leagues, then he really paid off.
It's true. That is true. Add on the return yardage because he was the punt primary returner for the Jets. Yeah, it's a pretty good performance for him. And I bet that against lesser competition, especially, that might be a continuing look for the Jets as Corey Davis is now done for the season. But I finally got a win, Andy. I finally got a win in the Danger Zone. Joshua Palmer, the Canadian, coming through for me. He had 17.6 points against the Giants in Week 14. He had 7 targets, 5 catches for 66 yards and a touchdown. So it's great stuff from Josh Palmer, the Canadian. So look, after 14 weeks of the Danger Zone, I am 1-14, and you are, I'll say, 0.5-14.
Can I get a tie?
No.
Give me the dash
you
one.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Good day, sir. But yeah, Joshua Palmer, love that that output. Now, this was from last week. The Thursday night game went back down with Keenan Allen back to one target. But Shody could jump up. That's a Canadian you can be proud of. Not that Chase Claypool. Get out of here, Chase. You're hot dogging. Look what you've done.
I hope Chase Claypool. I hope at some point he plays for the Browns. That's my sincere wish for you.
I'll then cheer for Chase Claypool. I cheer for the jersey, not the player.
You change your. What if Baker ended up becoming like the new Steelers quarterback? What happens then?
I'd hate Baker instantly. Okay. Instantly.
All right.
You go. I would not like him. Okay, I would not like him. I hope he doesn't. I have too much of his stuff.
I agree. I think you're too invested at this point. It's true.
Too invested, so it has to work out. All right, we're going to take the break. When we come back, we'll run through our fantasy football start sits for every single game on the Sunday, Monday, and turns out Tuesday slate around the NFL for Week 15. Also answer your questions with the People's Text Line at the top of the next hour. This is the Fantasy Show, and you're listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
We are back and rolling on the NFL Week 15 edition of the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. Give us a follow on Twitter, please. At AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. Is that desperate enough, Show? Follow us! We need it!
Please,
those sweet, sweet follows.
Please, God, listen, please.
Guys, we are, I don't want to, you know, brag, but both Show and I are blue checkmark verified on Twitter, so, you know, if you're not following us, what are you doing?
This is how we became verified. We went to people and be like, please follow us! Please.
Come on! Why would, our thing, why not? Huh?
Yeah, it's
true. Like, well, I guess. You know, why? Come on. Come on. And then they just said, sure.
I have a feeling a lot of our a lot of the listeners don't necessarily have Twitter, I think, Andy. I think is what I've learned over the years.
We get lots of we get tons of tweets in. Hashtag ask Andy. Let's go.
Yeah, I just mean like I think there are a lot of people who have phones but don't use Twitter is what I'm saying.
Oh, gotcha. Hey, you can follow us on Instagram too, people. At Andy MC Sports. But your Instagram's private, right?
Oh yes.
Jeff?
No one sees my Instagram content. Very private. Hey, but I'll be spoiler, it's pictures of cats and my wedding essentially. So that's essentially it.
I've seen it all, it's folks. True. One day I'll have a tell all of shows. I'll reveal shows IG.
It's not
all
very
the
exciting.
Dirt.
It's not very exciting.
Look at that cat. That cat's held against its will. Doesn't want to be there. All right. Let's get to the fantasy football start sets. Remember, folks, two games now on Tuesday. The general advice I'm putting out there, if you can play a player today, do it instead of waiting for the Monday or Tuesday game because this is just all over the place. But let's start with the Panthers versus the Bills. And as you mentioned, Show, last night, Patriots lost, feels good to say, meaning the Buffalo Bills with a win can put themselves in a showdown death battle with the Patriots for the AFC East title next week. And I got to say, while the Panthers' defense is respectable, this looks like it could be just a light-em-up show if Josh Allen's ankle, and he is expected to play, plays ball. I don't know if that means that they'll try running it for once, but he doesn't have an injury designation going in, Show, but that ankle is, you know, it's still a bit of an issue.
Well, the thing is with the Buffalo offense, they, I think, are the most pass-friendly offense, pass-heavy offense, I think, in the entire NFL. Like, if you had to guess, right, would you have guessed Buffalo? Probably not, I would imagine, right? Like, people might guess, I don't know, like the Rams or the Buccaneers or maybe even the Packers, right? But I feel like, generally speaking, yeah, the Josh Allen-led Bills, probably because the running game has been so non-existent and the offensive line. Yeah, like he is the running game essentially, right? I do think so. Obviously, you're lighting up Josh Allen. You're starting Stephon Diggs. You're starting Dawson Knox. Those are the usual suspects, I would say, when it comes to the Bills offense, right? Like, I don't think anyone needs us to tell them start those three guys. But I think Devin Singletary as a play this week, I don't hate it because of that injury. You know, again, you said no injury designation for Allen, but last week Devin Singletary played on 81% of the snaps and is used more than Breida or Moss is in the passing game. So, like, in a game where I think you could probably expect, I know we just talked about it, parity in the NFL being what it is, and every team having like a pretty grisly loss to other teams this year, including the Bills. I mean, they lost to the Jags this year, right? So,
yeah.
I just think you can't take anything for granted. I totally get that. But I do think that considering the Bills need to win this game in order to have next week's game continue to have meaning, Devin Singletary, I don't like hate it as a flex play this week because he's going to be in a game you would expect the Bills to be ahead by. I think he's going to be used a lot in the passing game and maybe even in the run game a little bit to salt some things away. I think if you get like 10 points, 8 to 10 points from Devin Singletary, that's a win in my books.
Well, absolutely. In this game, I'm going to pivot away from those running backs and I'm looking straight at Gabriel Davis, especially with Emmanuel Sanders, who's really cooled off since his hot start, listed as doubtful. And Gabe Davis, last 2 weeks, touchdowns each week. We've seen him go over 100 yards one time this season as well. Now, the issue, of course, is that typically the targets are not there. Now, last week, though, he did have 8 targets, 5 catches, only for 43 yards, but did have that touchdown. If Sanders is out and Allen maybe not wanting to run as much and look to distribute the ball around a little bit more, I think Gabriel Davis has a flex play against Carolina, even though Carolina has given up the third fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. I still think Gabe Davis might be a nice flex play, maybe for DraftKings as well. He's going to be on the cheaper side if you're looking maybe a little contrarian, right, Joe? You pop him in. And then for the Panthers, boy, like, I don't really know who to get excited about. Like, Chuba Hubbard didn't do anything. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Are we excited about any Panthers? Like, DJ Moore could play okay.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to think that we're going into the first week of the fantasy playoffs and, like, you maybe don't want to start DJ Moore, right? Because the problem is that the Panthers somehow, you know, we talk about, like, running back by committees, and we've talked about like the tight end by committee and at certain points, and we've talked about like, I mean, wide, you can't really wide receiver by committee, not really a thing because there's so many wide receivers on a team, yeah. But still, like you talk about like where targets go and so on. Well, Carolina is doing quarterback by committee, I guess, right? Mm. Like Cam Newton might play for one series, and then if they don't like it, maybe PJ Walker plays, and then maybe Cam Newton might come back out. Like, who knows? Like, he got benched last week, and I thought, here we go. And then he actually came back into the game at some point. Like, it was wild, right? I just, if that's what's going to be happening in Carolina, I just think you got to stay away entirely, right? I know
you have to.
I know when it comes to Chuba Hubbard, like, people might be enticed because the Bills' run defense has been problematic lately. We just saw, again, like in several weeks. I mean, Leonard Fournette had a pretty big run to basically start the game last week. And then you go back to the Patriots game, certainly. You go back to the Colts game. And Chuba Hubbard is, I think, like, for me, he's always kind of like a volume-based running back, right? He's good, but he's no Christian McCaffrey, obviously, because few players are. But, I guess
Amir Abdullah, too, show.
Like, yeah, he saw a lot of the passing game work Abdullah did. I don't know. I'm not excited about any of these guys. No. I would avoid almost every Panther if possible.
Yeah. I think the Panthers' offense is just going to be littered with single-digit fantasy production. Cam Newton has not thrown for a touchdown in two games. Let's move on. Cardinals versus Lions. Now, we look at Arizona. No DeAndre Hopkins, but Chase Edmonds back in. He is coming off the IR. He was designated to return. He's officially going to be back in. James Conner banged up but is expected to play. If I'm looking at this game show, you know I love my guy all year, Christian Kirk. And when he has been able to have a flex floor, low double-digit floor all year long, and in the odd spot where DeAndre Hopkins does not play or isn't 100%, has been able to excel. We get a lot of questions in. AJ Green, Rondale Moore, Christian Kirk is the safest play out of those receivers, and I think today against the Lions, this could be a big day for him.
I'm trying to find what Christian Kirk's stat lines have been over the last little while. It has been relatively safe, all things considered. Last week, in full PPR leagues, last week he did 11.6 points.
Yeah.
In week 13, so last week was week 14. In week 13, he had 1.4 points. There was the bye in week 12. In week 11, he had 4.5 points.
Colt McCoy led.
Colt McCoy, yeah, that is fair. It's Colt McCoy in there. AJ Green, though, like, it's not that far off when it comes to AJ Green, honestly. Like, especially in the games that Kyler Murray has played. Like, last week, AJ Green had 10 targets, 7 catches, and 102 yards for 17 points. He didn't have a touchdown, and he still had 17 points, which is kind of crazy, right? And then, again, December 5th, 2.4 points, and November 21st on week 11, 11.8 points. So, again, what I'm saying is it's actually, like, pretty similar for me when it comes to AJ Green and Christian Kirk. And now that DeAndre Hopkins is out, I think it'll probably be safe to play either of those guys. I'm okay with starting AJ Green. I'm going to start him in one of my leagues. Zach Ertz, I think, is the primary beneficiary from DeAndre Hopkins being out, because all of his his largest fantasy days this season as a Cardinal, obviously being this season because he was traded this year, have come with Hopkins on the bench, right? So now that Hopkins is done for at least the regular season, it would seem, I think I don't mind a mid TE1 finish for Ertz today, because I think that, like, it's never come with Hopkins in the game and has only come with Hopkins on the bench.
Right. And you have to track Ertz's hamstring issue, though. He is technically listed as questionable, expected to play, but as questionable. Let's go to the Lions. And this again shows that when you have bad teams, it's a case where it's like, all right, how much do you want to be playing of players from those bad teams? TJ Hockenson is out. That forced me personally. I had to go get a boy off the scrap heap show. My goodness. Gerald Everett was the best option.
That was
legitimately the best. I was like looking. I'm like, is there any even long shots? Like, nope. That's it. So I have to roll with Gerald Everett in the playoffs. That really sucks. Amon-Ra St. Brown, as much as you can rely on a terrible Detroit team, show the last 2 weeks, this target share, you cannot deny 12 targets in each of the last two games. Jared Goff is just pumping the ball, especially with no TJ Hockenson. He's the new Hockenson. And DeAndre Swift banged up. It is all St. Brown. So I think for St. Brown against Arizona, middle of the pack defense against the pass, that seems as good a play as any. Probably a you know, you probably want to have him in the lower, your expectations in the low WR2 or high flex. But if you're getting 12 targets a game and he's catching a bunch of them, you know, PPR especially,
yeah,
can't argue with that.
Yeah, well, look, if it's a standard league, I would say maybe play nobody from this offense, right?
Correct.
But if it's a half or a full PPR league, because like you said, in week 13, he had 12 targets, 10 catches, 86 yards and a touchdown. And last week he had 12 targets again, 8 catches for 73 yards and no score. But I mean, 8 catches, 10 catches. If you're not counting those catches, then it's probably not worth it, I would say, to take the chance. But if you are, then yeah, I don't mind that. But I mean, like Craig Reynolds kind of popped last week with no Swift, and Swift won't play again this week. But I don't know if you want to take the risk on that against the Arizona defense, right?
Like
this,
I wouldn't.
This seems like a week where Jared Goff's going to have to throw the ball a lot in order to catch up with the pretty lethal Arizona defense, especially from the pass rushing perspective. So maybe you want to just, you know, take it easy on how many Lions are in your fantasy lineup, especially in the fantasy playoffs here.
Well, Jamal Williams is on the COVID list as well. I think it's St. Brown and that's it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's it. Let's move on. Jets versus Dolphins. My guy Braxton Berrios on fire. Absolute tear last week, sort of.
Kind of.
Yeah, but for him, it's good.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, for him, lots of targets. 5'9", little slot receiver. To a slender shoulder, baby shoulder quarterback, Zach Wilson, needs to get the ball out quick. That's your guy, right? Now, Michael Carter is expected to play. Robert Salat came out and said, hey, early in the week, he said he wants him involved heavily in the offense coming off of injured reserve. So a little bit of a surprise in the sense that I think that he's coming back as quickly and is expected to be in as prominent of a role that Robert Saleh is saying with the Jets. So that could be a really interesting play against a Miami defense that they're top 10, I think ninth fewest fantasy points to running backs. But again, it for pure volume on these bad teams, show, it just seems like it's mainly focused to PPR because they're not going to get a lot of yards, but they could get a lot of touches. And that's where I think Michael Carter comes in.
Yeah, I think Carter, like we kind of saw it throughout the entire season, right? Like he kind of has been used a lot in the passing game. And I think that the sense I had gotten to from when he'd gotten injured, because it was an ankle injury too, I think because the Jets had already viewed this as a lost season and they know Michael Carter is probably going to be part of their plans going forward. They're basically like, look, it may not be the worst injury in the world. He could probably come back in 2 weeks, let's say. But I mean, since this is lost season, put him, yeah. Why push it? Just put him on the injured reserve to return list. Give him an extra week, and then he can come back and kind of be important down the stretch run there. So I think that's why. Like, you know, we always say, like, it's kind of tough to trust in players coming back off of the injured reserve because who knows how they perform. I don't mind Michael Carter this week despite that because I don't think the injury was ever that bad in the first place. So that's why, he's used, like you said, a volume-based. He's very talented, so I do like the Michael Carter play. You mentioned Berrios. We talked about him before. But other than that, I mean, it's like, I don't know if you want to really risk it on someone like an Austin Walter or a Ty Johnson or, a, like, I don't know, who, like
no.
A Keelan Cole or something. Like, no.
No,
I don't
get cute.
Yeah, don't even in DFS plays, I don't think you want to be starting any of those guys. And on the Dolphins, I mean, no Jalen Waddle, but I because he COVID list. I believe Myles Gaskin was activated off the COVID list. And I know we've been kind of up and down on your personal favorite fantasy football player of the year, Myles Gaskin.
Oh,
but
Gaskin.
but I think I don't hate the play of Gaskin this week because it's also the Jets. It's the Jets defense, Andy. You could probably play literally any player against the Jets defense and expect them to have a decent fantasy day.
Gaslight Gaskin. It's in my head. It's in my head. It's terrible. But yeah, you're right. I think Gaskin is a good play. Waddle out. That means Gesicki and Devontae Parker should both benefit. Those two guys seem like really good plays to get into your lineup. So,
and Andy, we have seen Devontae Parker when he was in, like, to the detriment of the team, probably, he just was just forcing the ball to Devontae Parker. Like if that continues even a little bit today, Devontae Parker will be a pretty good play today.
Could have an interesting fantasy play. I'm not going to recommend that you do it, but you know, if you're desperate or two quarterback leagues, like you look at the opponent, you can do worse than Tua. Yeah, he's probably going to get you high teens.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance Tua returns like a pretty decent QB1 performance. If he, I think there's a chance, because it's the Jets, it may not happen every single week, because I think he's like, he's actually been, like, in the, after coming back from injury, he's been pretty good, I would say, overall this season. Like, yeah, he's been, he has a pretty good pass completion percentage, doesn't turn the ball over, right? He hasn't used his legs as much, which I think we all kind of hope for, but he can if he needs to. Against the Jets, I think I'm good with putting QB1 status next to Tua's name, but I don't know if it happens every week, but against the Jets, I would. So, I mean, look, I would start Tua, I'd start Gaskin, I'd start Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki as well. Those are the guys I'm starting, and I think I'd feel pretty good about it.
And Tua, 5-1 touchdown interception ratio since coming back from injury.
Not bad.
Pretty good. Okay, let's move on. Cowboys versus Giants. And I want to know what the bleep is going on with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott was he's been troublesome.
He's barely been a top 10 QB this year. It's weird, right?
Well, for the last 2 weeks, especially Tua. Here's what we look at the last. I'm looking at here month. Okay, 4 weeks.
All right,
since November 21st versus Kansas City. Versus Kansas City. Show now you see that matchup on paper with the weapons. Like, oh, baby, this is going to be a QB1 bonanza. Not so. Not so. 4.64 fantasy points for Mr. Prescott. Bounce back the next week against Vegas. 25 plus. Okay, feeling good. Two touchdowns, no picks. The last 2 weeks, 12.2 and 11.9 fantasy points against New Orleans and Washington. That is awful. Third straight road game. They're playing the Giants. We know they can't stop anybody, but show how confident can I be when all the pieces are there around Dak? He got a vote of confidence from Stephen Jones, the EVP Jerry Jones' kid with the Cowboys. Everything seems to be in place. I'm not sure how confident I should be even against a bad Giants team.
Yeah, right. I just if you've managed to make it to the fantasy playoffs and Dak has been your quarterback all season, you know what? Good for you. Like, honestly, I'm not being sarcastic. That is a true accomplishment, because you probably spent more draft capital on Dak than the QB12, let's say. I think he's QB11 so far right now.
Yeah.
So I think if you spent similar draft capital on Dak rather than, and yeah, QB12 probably was I don't know, like probably much less draft capital, I'll put it that way, right? So I just it's unfortunate the way it's gone down, but on the other half of it is that you probably can't bench Dak this week because the potential against the Giants, and also because you probably don't have anyone better than Dak. Maybe if you're in a 2QB league, that's a different story, but in 1QB leagues, like, you drafted Dak and probably just don't have another quarterback, because why would you, right? If you spend that much draft capital on Prescott. I still think he's starting. It's something you probably don't feel great about. And you're still starting like the CeeDee Lambs, Amari Coopers, Dalton Schultzes, because they're, you know, because again, the potential in this offense, but it's more iffy than it has been. I think, you know, for me, Andy, my question to you, where do you fall on Ezekiel Elliott? Because there's, I think Tony Pollard, I think he is officially out, I think, right? And
I thought he was still questionable as of this morning.
All right.
I think it is. Oh, you know what? We have an update from 9 minutes ago.
Ooh.
Here we go. From NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports, Tony Pollard will test out his foot in pregame warmups to determine his Week 15 status. Okay. Folks, do not play Tony Pollard.
Yeah, don't play Tony Pollard. I don't know that you really want to play like Corey Clement if Tony Pollard doesn't play, right? But I mean, here's the thing. Like, we have a lot of questions, and we'll get to these text line questions in about 5 minutes here. And I see a lot of questions about Ezekiel Elliott. And it's a lot of people basically being like, should I play Zeke? And I'm like, well, it's crazy to think that even just like a year ago, that would have been an insane question to ask. But it's not that an insane question. Like, he's been kind of disappointing this year. And
yeah.
I think you kind of have to start Zeke, but you can't expect more than like an RB2 finish from Zeke at this point.
I think that's very fair. With Tony Pollard expected to be out, even if he does play, that just reeks of him getting like two touches or something.
Yeah.
It should be a full workload for Zeke, right? He said on midweek that his knee feels the best it's felt in a while. He said last week he wore a knee brace. It helped a lot. He's getting used to that. It's against the Giants. Yeah, I think if you're like, look, if I get in the teens, low to mid-teens production of Ezekiel, you're going to be fine. Then you have the upside of something else.
That's fair.
Yeah,
I think that's valid. I think that's totally valid. I think it's just been a strange year. I know he's been injured and so on. And the Dallas offense, because of what's going on with Dak and so on, has been up and down. But Boy, like it's just unfortunate because you basically had to have invested like a mid to high first round pick in Ezekiel Elliott to just have him on your team in the first place, and
oh, sure.
and he just hasn't returned that investment, I would say.
Yeah, Michael Gallup, as even with the return of Amari Cooper, when Amari Cooper was out, he had that 100-yard plus game and all that. He's remained in double digit fantasy points in half or full PPR. So, look. Do you ever want to rely on a guy who's going to be the third and maybe fourth option in an offense? No. But if you are a little wary of, all right, well, I got this Sunday game or I got a bunch of guys Tuesday and they're you know, you're on the border for a flex, I don't think Michael Gallup is the worst option. You know, as long as you expect you're going to be getting sort of 11 to 12. Depends on how your fantasy team's built. If that's okay and you want more of that safety and you're like, okay, I can make up that elsewhere, that's probably okay.
And let me ask you this, Andy, real quick, because I know we got to hit the break here. Are you starting any Giants player whose name is not Saquon Barkley?
No, and I'm probably tentative on Saquon Barkley, but I will play him. That's it, people.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, it's again, that's a case. Like, I hate to dismiss an entire organization outside of one guy, but I think it's foolish to think you can get anything out of high RB2 with always, if he can pop a couple, RB1 potential with Saquon Barkley. Just a bad football team that's going to go under a lot of changes this offseason.
Yeah, 95 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown last week, and it was his first touchdown since week four, his highest yards from scrimmage amount, his second highest, rather, on the entire season. It's been a pretty dismal year. Cowboys also only allowing the eighth fewest fantasy points to running back. So, yeah, even if you start Saquon, it's like an RB2 finish at best, it would seem. Even if he does pop a touchdown, I can't imagine the yardage will be very high, right? So, yeah. I'm passing on a lot of these other guys as well. Real quick, before I hit the break as well, Andy, can we agree that Texans-Jaguars, we can just bang this out right now. We mentioned it already at the beginning.
Yes.
James Robinson is the guy for the Jags. Brandon Cooks is the guy for the Texans.
You got it.
Is that it? Is that literally it?
That's it, folks. If you start anybody else, you're guessing.
That's on you.
Don't do it.
That's on you. Don't start anyone other than those two guys.
No question on that one. You know what? Yeah, remove that one from the list. That's done. Texans, Jaguars, Robinson, Cooks, ball game. Move on. Try not to watch the game if you can avoid it at all possible. We will take the break, come back, start answering your fantasy football questions for the playoffs, for DFS, for Week 15. People's text line is open, 590-590, name and location, please. And on Twitter, too, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. You're listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Hour two of The Fantasy Show kicks off right now, Canada-wide, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. Happy holidays, everybody. It's our go-home show before Christmas. We'll be back on Boxing Day next week. But, folks, we got to get through this NFL Week 15. Two games moved to Tuesday. Browns-Raiders moved to Monday. COVID running wild. It's like reverse Hulkamania show. It's like the opposite of what you want. COVID's running wild. And nobody seems like symptomatic of it, but the NFL is making stuff up as they go along. They will get these games in.
Oh, yeah.
I was asked, it's like, Andy, do you think the NFL would cancel games? I said, I promise you, no, they will not. NBA, NHL, yes. NFL, absolutely not. They will never cancel their games.
I wonder like if a part of it, I know we'll get to the questions in a sec, but I do genuinely wonder if a part of it is... Like, the NBA does have a decent amount. Like, it's grown more in recent years, but the NBA has more, like, international players than ever, right? Like, Canadian players and players from Europe and so on.
Yeah.
And then the NHL, I would probably argue that in terms of the overall percentage, like, Americans are probably the smallest percentage compared to, like, all of Europe and then certainly compared to Canada, right?
Sure.
Whereas the NFL is, like, what, like 99.5% Americans? And I just feel like, and again, I'm not making commentary on like how Americans view COVID or whatever, because I have a lot of family down in the United States and they do view it a little differently than like we do up here. But it just, I wonder if that's plays a part in like, in terms of like the approach to how things go. I'm sure money plays a huge part in it because, like you said, like the networks pay a lot of money for these NFL games. But I just thinking out loud. I always think about that kind of stuff when it comes to COVID and like postponements. Because the Leafs were supposed to play last night. They were supposed to play tonight. They're not playing at all. They probably won't play another game until after Christmas, if I had to guess, right? So that would never happen in the NFL, right? They maybe they moved a game by a couple of days, and that's it, right? That's kind of it there.
And then the strategy is to test less so that you don't get test right. back so you right. can play. What a mindset. It just seems so funny in a way, right, Joe? It's like, well, if you don't test, then you won't know if you're... I'm like, oh, well, I guess technically that is true. But is that the safest thing for humanity? Probably not.
Probably not.
Damn it. Damn it, Joe, we're going to get the football games in. And we're going to watch him. And no matter what, the thing is, too, people, how could the NFL do this? Anybody who complains on social media or whatever, you and I both know you're watching that game. I can complain about the NFL as much as I want. I am watching all of it, no matter what.
I'll probably pass on watching the Browns. No one wants to watch the Browns play, Andy, other than you.
You are grossly uninformed, their show. Largest fan base in the world. Largest NFL fan base in the world. That's
didn't you see that? Didn't you see that poll on Reddit or whatever from a couple of days ago? It was like, who are the least loyal fan bases? And I think the Browns were in the top five. The least loyal.
Least
fan
loyal? Yeah, that's least the stupidest loyal. Thing I've ever heard in my life. That team hasn't done anything since '99. That's since '99, and they have fans still. Dumbest Reddit thing ever.
The buttons are too easy to push, boy.
That's ridiculous.
Gotta say, pal.
Reddit's stupid. That's a rabbit hole of degenerate basement dwellers.
Twitter is the same thing. Twitter is exactly the same.
Well, at least it's easier. I don't even know Reddit. You Google stuff. I don't know what's going on there.
I know. That's because you're like a million years old, though. That's why.
That's true. Let's answer these questions. Right, people's text line, 590-590. Name and location on Twitter, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. You got me riled up, show. Let's get these questions in to figure out what the heck you're going to do in your fantasy football playoffs. Let's go.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
So easy to rile you up, Andy. You know what? I never get tired of it. Honest to God, I never get tired of it.
I'm glad it can help. Bro.
Never be boring on the fantasy show.
I'm glad I can help.
Gosh. Okay, let's get to these texts. 590, right. 590. And like I always say, if you're new tuning into our program, we will answer every single one of your questions. So if you want to get us on Twitter or if you want to hit us up on the text line, 590, 590, we will answer every single one of these questions before kickoff goes in a couple of hours later this afternoon. Okay, so let's start. John in Toronto, big flex question for the playoffs. James Conner or Saquon Barkley, full point PPR league. Thanks a lot. Thanks for texting, John.
James Conner. Now, that you have Chase Edmonds coming back. That James Conner being banged, I think it's an ankle, right? Something like...
Yeah, it was like a lower body.
Yes.
For sure, yeah.
It is. So I'm just looking now. It looks like he is good to play. Question about the ankle is good to play. I would still say, show, you're playing the Lions. James Conner, the man just scores touchdowns. He has 14 rushing touchdowns. I still think you play him over as healthy a Saquon Barkley as you can be. I'd still say Conner.
Yeah, I'm going to go with James Conner as well. It's just, we kind of talked about it at the end of the last segment, but I am going to play Barkley in a couple of leagues today just because you kind of have to, right? But I think, you know, we still saw Devontae Booker get involved in the game plan last week. He had, like, what, 84 yards, something like that. So I don't know if you really want to be... It's not a gamble with Barkley. You know they're going to use him, and they're going to use him a lot because he's their most skilled player who's available today. But at the same time, yeah, I just think you really want to... You want the highest upside. I think against an abysmal Lions rush defense, you want James Conner. And like you said, all he does is score touchdowns. If anyone had said they had James Conner... like the odds-on favorite to lead the NFL in touchdowns by the end of the season, man, good for you. Good for you if you manage to get
good
that
for
bad.
You.
Yeah, I'll say that. Let's go to another one here. Tony from Hamilton, he has two questions. The first one, he doesn't say what format it is, like half PPR or whatever, but either way, Tony says, who would you start, Cole Beasley or Devontae Parker? And then he has a defense question as well. But first, Beasley or Parker?
Devontae Parker, 100%. Beasley, if Dawson Knox is out, we saw, then those targets go to Cole Beasley. Dawson Knox is not out, therefore you go Devontae Parker, especially with Jalen Waddle out. We talked about it in the earlier game. Tua's going to force feed him the ball without Waddle.
Yeah, I really think that's what's going to be the case here. I know Mike Kosicki is there too, and But, I mean, usually it's Yeah, I'm sure he'll be great, too. Yeah, it's usually the Waddle Gesicki show when it comes to the pass catchers. And I know the other guys, like, you know, the Mac Hollins of the world, they flash occasionally. But generally speaking, yeah, with Waddle out, and unless that changes between now and kickoff, I don't think it will. I think Devontae Parker is the play there. And I think, what was Tony's other question? My second question is, San Francisco defense or Tennessee defense?
Tennessee's defense has been really banged up, but they've, you know, you have the Steelers, and then you got versus the Falcons. You know what? I'll say 49ers against Atlanta. Yeah, give me the 49ers.
I just think the way of the, I'll go 49ers as well, because I think the way the 49ers defense has wreaked havoc at times this year. I know they've had some struggles, but they have been, all things considered, pretty good. Despite injuries and so on. So I think I'll go 49ers as well because of the opponent they're playing. It's just Tennessee is playing, what, the Steelers? And, like, the Steelers' offense, I think, like, despite the struggles of this the Steelers, generally speaking, they still have a lot of really talented pieces like Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson, right? Those guys haven't really disappointed so far this year. And if they score, I don't know if you really want to count on that. I don't know if you want to count on them not scoring, considering how great they've been, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. I think 49ers is the play.
So let's go 49ers, and we'll both go Devontae Parker as well. Ben from Thornhill. Good morning, boys. Good morning, Ben. And he asks, in PPR, pick one wide receiver and one flex. So we're picking from Amari Cooper, T. Higgins. So I guess you're picking from one of those two wide receivers. And then Darrell Henderson or Miles Sanders. So I guess, like, you can pick one wide receiver and then any of the other guys for the flex play. So Amari Cooper, T. Higgins, Darrell Henderson, Miles Sanders.
Ooh, I'm going to say if we go with the wide receivers, give me T. Higgins, man. That volume, three straight games of over 110 receiving yards and a couple touchdowns, even against Denver. Denver's defense is serviceable. It's good. Certainly not what it used to be. I'm going with T. Higgins on the wide receiver side. And who are the running back options?
Well, so if you go T. Higgins, that means you can pick from Amari Cooper, Darrell Henderson, or Miles Sanders with flex.
Oh, I'll take Cooper then.
All right. Yeah, I like
Cooper. I'll take the two wide receivers.
Cooper is a pretty safe play, I would say, right? Like, most weeks, the floor has been pretty stable, I'd say.
Giants have given up the seventh most fantasy points to wide receivers. Light them up.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so we'll go with Higgins and Cooper for Ben from Thornhill. Here's a question about Ezekiel Elliott. This is from Connor in Calgary. Appreciate you waking up early with us, Connor. And he says, good morning, gentlemen. He says, pretty sure I'm winning this week, but I need a safe RB. You know what, Connor? Never say that in fantasy. That invites trouble. That's inviting, like, that's asking for trouble.
I like the confidence.
I do like the confidence, so I really hope you do win, Connor. Text us back next week. Let us know how it goes. But Connor wants to know, he needs a safe RB2 play, standard scoring. He needs about 7 points. And I guess his picks are, I think, Ezekiel Elliott, Sony Michel, and Michael Carter. So those are your picks. A standard scoring, so not half or full PPR.
I still think you go with the safest high volume play, even despite the struggles, Ezekiel Elliott. Michael Carter, I do like, but he's coming off an injury. Sony Michel, I'm still not comfortable relying on him. I think Zeke is the smart play.
Yeah, you know what? I'd probably go too. I know. I've been pretty high on Ezekiel Elliott over the course of his whole career, and I mean, I really like Ezekiel Elliott. I think he's a fun athlete, but it's just been kind of a bummer to watch him at some points this year, Andy. But I you're probably right. I definitely like both of them over both Ezekiel Elliott and Carter over Sony Michel. But it's close for me this week between the two of them. But I guess if you're in doubt, probably go with the better offense, the better team.
The proven commodity.
Right? Yeah. And that is definitely the Dallas Cowboys over Michael Carter. Let's go here with Jason from Acton. He has two questions. His first question is in half PPR, and it's a tight end spot. And he wants to know, Dallas Goedert or Mike Gesicki? And I mean, they're both pretty good options this week, but also don't forget Dallas Goedert plays on Tuesday because that game got moved to Tuesday.
Yeah, versus Washington, so that is tough. Now, Dallas Goedert before the bye, remember Eagles coming off of that last bye week, 28.5 fantasy points, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns, monster week.
But that was with Minshew at quarterback, right?
It was the mustache man himself, yes, but Jalen Hurts is going to be back. He is listed as questionable with that foot issue, but should play. I just think Mike Gesicki is the, like, Goedert could very well go off. But with that bit of uncertainty at quarterback, I think you go with Gesicki because, you know, especially without Jalen Waddle, the ball is going to him or it's going to Parker or it's going to Gaskin. I like Gesicki as a volume guy.
All right, so let's go with Gesicki there, halfway in PPR. And then Jason wants to know, he says, I usually wouldn't need to ask the next one. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but running back flex, he needs to pick two. And his three choices for the running back and the flex are Ezekiel Elliott, Deontay Foreman, and Hunter Renfro. I think I know where you're going when it comes to Hunter Renfro.
You know my boy, Hunter Renfro. I'd say you sit Foreman.
Okay.
Renfro's a beast. That is Tuesday, or that is a Monday. That is the Monday game versus the Browns, though. So it is, you know, with how many cases and all that, it is a little, there is that question, but we can only go with the information we have. We can't guess. We're not in the buildings with medical stuff. So it's all just guessing as far as what happens with COVID outbreaks and whatever there. I think you go with Renfro, though.
Yeah, I think so. You do. I think you really do too. It's, as we've talked about this before, but like in the absence of other players, and it started with Henry Ruggs, who got cut for a really good reason, and then of course with Darren Waller suffering the injury a couple weeks ago, and he's out today, of course, as well. Like you kind of think to yourself, maybe Josh Jacobs gets more carries. Well, the answer to that is no. What happens is that Derek Carr just throws the ball like 15 times more a game, and they all go to Hunter Renfro. Apparently, they don't go to anyone else.
No, that's it. He's getting all of it. He has been an absolute tremendous play. And him and a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson could be league winners this year. You get them for free off of waivers, they could be league winners. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you go with those two.
Oh, you want to hit up a Twitter question? I think I got a Twitter one here. Huntley Doherty on Twitter, he tweeted us at the Fantasy Show, at SNS Alley, at AndyMC81. He says, I need some help here, fellas. Who do I flex? A.J. Dillon, Christian Kirk, or Michael Carter?
Christian Kirk, in my mind, no doubt. That jumped out immediately. I like Carter second. I do appreciate A.J. Dillon, I do. But I just think without... And the A.J. Green argument is there with Arizona. But I just feel this is a good day for Christian Kirk. You can make... You know, I don't think you're going to go wrong, really, with either of those three.
Yeah, I think so.
But I personally like Kirk. What about you?
You know, I think I'll go Michael Carter just because he's getting the carries on the ground. It may not be a lot in terms of like points he's getting on the ground because of the defense he's playing. The Dolphins do limit running backs pretty well, but you know he's also going to be involved in the passing game, and that's why I like Michael Carter this week. I think if this was a different situation, like different opponents, and maybe different opponent for the Cardinals as well, because they're playing the Lions, right? It's hard to bench players when you play the Lions. But it is close though. Like if you go with Kirk or Carter, you're probably gonna get like a relatively similar fantasy day. Like I'm expecting like, I don't know, 10 to 12 points from both of these guys, essentially, right? So
yeah,
that's where I'm following that. You want to do one more, and then we'll get back to the start sits?
Yeah, let's do a couple more texts, sure.
All right, cool. So Jeremy from Moncton. Jeremy, happy playoff seasons. Happy holidays, guys. Happy holidays, Jeremy, to you and your family. He says, need help in one league and QB. I'm in first place. I need help. Do I play Taysom Hill or Jalen Hurts? And again, I think I go Hurts this week, Andy, despite the fact that Taysom Hill was a monster last week, but still, you know, the question with Hurts is he also plays on Tuesday, and who knows what happens between now and Tuesday, despite a fantastic matchup against the Washington's ailing defense.
Yeah, boy, I would agree. Taysom Hill's looking at you right here, Sunday Night Football, but I agree, Show. I think you go with Jalen Hurts. I would say, though, try to then maybe have some sort of backup plan. It's, you know, you got the two games Tuesday. Is there another? Ah, boy, you know what? You're not going to really have any other options.
Yeah, that's going to be right.
Yeah, you're going to be stuck. Well, you know what? Maybe get Minshew as a see if you can have him just as a bit of a safety net in case something goes wrong. He rolls his ankle or something like that. Maybe have Minshew as a safety net. But I think you go with Hurts and try to stay away from Taysom Hill. It's just, especially in the fantasy playoffs, like, show if this is like week 8, you know, and you can roll the dice a little bit, sure, but we know the roller coaster that Taysom Hill can be.
Yeah, I will say Taysom Hill didn't win me a pretty penny last week on that touchdown run that iced the game. Ooh, won me about $100, which was very nice. Thank you very much. Taysom Hill. Jeremy's other question was he just needs to know. He doesn't, again, I don't think it said what format this is, but he did say he wants to know Myles Gaskin or Saquon Barkley.
I'm Gaskin.
And he's recommending playing Myles Gaskin.
Boy, I know. He's gaslight Gaskin. That's how I feel. Just doubt yourself, doubt your existence. You know, he's in there. The guy, now that he's going to get 6 points today. I can feel it. You know what, though? I think you go Gaskin. Go with Gaskin. What do you think, Joe? I think you go Gaskin over Barkley.
I just like the matchup better. It's the Jets. Yeah. It's a better matchup. Like you said, the Cowboys, we already went over this, but they limit opposing running backs pretty well. And I'll say this as well. The Dolphins do some creative things, and whenever they're up there in the red zone, specifically whenever they're down near like the 10-yard line or so, 10-15 yard line, they like to run some wildcat plays. I don't know if you've noticed that, but they run a decent amount of wildcat where they just put the ball in Gaskin's hands, and then he like either looks the pass or he runs it into the end zone. And I mean, obviously, most times he's running within himself because he's a running back. But it's just, I got to say, it's a creative look, and it has resulted for a couple of touchdowns for Gaskin. It's not something that you'll see from many offenses. So I guess that's one point in Gaskin's favor. Let's put it that way.
Well, really, going back to their roots, because Miami was the one that kind of made the Wildcat famous back in, what, the early 2000s, mid 2005, some type of thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
Everyone was doing the Wildcat. Remember, you were like, well, just, you know, blitz the heck out of it.
I remember that was the year that the Dolphins played the Patriots, and they smoked the Patriots. Like, they won by, like, 30 points, and everyone was like, good God, the Dolphins are unstoppable. And then the next time they played, it was ugly. Like, everyone was like, ah, this is how you beat the Wildcat. And then it was an ugly result.
Belichick was like, I will destroy your soul. And he did. And he did like he always does.
You want to do one more, and then we'll wrap up? Let's do one more. All right.
Yeah,
Simon from Richmond Hill, we'll end on this one. And then, again, don't forget, if we don't get to your question right now, Twitter or on the text line, we'll answer all of them on the we'll answer them all of them off the air before kickoff goes. So you will get an answer from us at some point today. But Simon from Richmond Hill, pick your QB poison. I'm so embarrassed. I need help. Davis Mills or Mike Glennon? Who are you going with, Andy?
No!
I know, right? That's tough.
How are you in the playoffs?
I'm sorry, Simon. I'm so sorry.
How is he in the playoffs? I would love more. I have many questions. I have many questions here. Good Lord. The answer is none. Like, there's nobody else? Really? There's got to be somebody else. Like, okay, in this awful situation, Davis Mills, but like, text us back, please. Like, tell me who's on your waiver wire. There's got to be somebody else other than those two. There just has to be.
There has to be,
like,
right.
give me some names,
like,
please.
Tyler Huntley, I would say I would still go over. Like, if Lamar doesn't play,
absolutely,
I'd go Tyler Huntley. 100%. There's got to be other options.
I'm genuinely curious. Please text back. Give us, like, five waiver wire other quarterbacks that are on there, please, because there's got to be somebody else.
Yeah, I like that one. That was a good one to end on, but that was... But yeah, like I said, Andy, I hope the answer is
you're losing. The answer is you're not advancing in your fantasy playoffs. Hey, I mean, is the answer.
Maybe if that's the option at quarterback, maybe it means he has like phenomenal one running backs and wide receivers. Maybe it's possible, right?
Better. Yeesh.
All right. Well, anyways, if we didn't get to your question here in the first 15-20 minutes just now, we will get to all of your questions at 590-590, at AndyAmes81, at SNS Alley, at The Fantasy Show on Twitter. We'll get all of your questions before kickoff goes at 1 p.m. Eastern, Andy.
Correct. Yes. All right, let's get back to our fantasy football start sits for the Week 15 slate. That includes two Tuesday games. So we'll go with Titans and Steelers right now. And this is it's an interesting game here to me because you look at – if we begin with the Titans – all right, we're looking at running back. Yep, Donta Foreman, who's the guy I recommended the couple weeks ago, you know, over Dontrell Hilliard. Yep. So you're all welcome because that was the split, right? It was Hilliard and McNichols back. I like Foreman as a sort of mid to back end RB2. Seems pretty steady, right, Joe?
Yeah, right, because the run defense for Pittsburgh, bunch of injuries there. They've been kind of up and down, but with the injuries, I think you can probably still get away with starting Foreman. I definitely like that. You know, Julio and the rest of the pass catchers, I don't know if you really want to.
I don't want Julio.
Bet on any of them. I you know, he's clearly on some kind of like pitch count last week because he was on the sidelines with his helmet on, but he wasn't in the game. So I think they were clearly being cautious with him. And I mean, they won anyway, so it clearly didn't matter, right? They didn't want to like push it, which I get. They might have to push it a little more against the Steelers. But still, I don't know if you want to take the chance. Like, I think like if you have Julio as like a WR3, I still think that's the most attractive pass catching option from this entire Titans offense with no A.J. Brown, but still, it's pretty, like, low. Like, you're expecting low things from someone like Julio this week. And Ryan Tannehill, again, maybe, like, in a 2QB league, you can get him in. But, you know, I think I feel like his recent points, his scoring has been buoyed by, you know, like, some rushing touchdowns, which you can't always count on from the quarterback. You know what I mean?
No.
So I just, you know, I don't mind starting Tannehill, but I think you'd expect a QB2 finish from him today.
I'm absolutely with you. And for the Steelers, it's you're not starting Big Ben, but you can comfortably, especially in PPR, Deontay Johnson on volume.
Yeah.
That's Johnson and Najee Harris, I think, are the two definite starts there. It's just he's been so good. Those two guys, especially Johnson. Pat Freiermuth at tight end. Rebound, had a touchdown last week. The volume going down from, let's say, 3 weeks ago. But, you know, I still think with how, like, gosh, I would pay cash to have Pat Freiermuth over Gerald Everett in my fantasy situation.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, like we always say, Show, you can be a TE1 and still get, like, 8 points. Right, so.
And, well, here's the thing, right? I mean, Freiermuth, like, he is consistently looked for by Big Ben in the red zone. Like, more than most guys on that offense. Like, almost as much as Deontay Johnson and Najee Harris, right? And I think they're two of the better players in fantasy football, period, right? Like, we talk about running back by committees. There is no running back, I think maybe in the entire NFL, who has more total control over a single backfield than Najee Harris. Like, whoever, I don't even know who the backup to Najee Harris is, because it doesn't, you know why? It doesn't matter who it is, because Najee Harris is the guy when it comes to the RB situation there. So you're firing all those guys up. But yeah, Freiermuth, I think you expect like a lower finish, because I think Tennessee is, relatively speaking, okay generally, and also against the tight end. But I think you can still fire him up. And yeah, Big Ben, again, QB2, right? He finished as the QB6 last week after a very awful first half. He actually had a great game in the end.
Yeah.
And the Titans allow the third most points to quarterbacks. So maybe, I don't know. Last week was only the second time inside the top 12 for Big Ben all year. So I don't know if you can really like count on that. But you can still get away with starting him, I think. Especially like if you have like a Taylor Heineke, or you had like a Lamar Jackson, or for example, I think you can start Big Ben and feel like okay about it.
Well, better than Davis Mills.
Well, yes.
Jeez. Beside myself with that one. Hopefully the Titans come out on top, put those squealers to 6-7-1 under 500. Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Benny Snell Jr. and Kalen Ballage. The Bellagio. Bellagio. And Anthony McFarland Jr., the most unused backup running back crew in the National Football League.
They might be, like, they, without looking, they probably have a collective ownership of like 5%, if that.
Probably, and should be lower. I miss the Bellagio.
I've never been to the Bellagio in real life, though.
I've walked inside it, certainly never stayed in.
They're like, sir, please leave. You're not our usual clientele. Please leave.
But, all right, I'll take a picture, damn it. Be on the outside, yeah. Okay, so there you go. That's for that Titans and Steelers game. We will step aside, come back, finish off the remaining slate of games for Week 15. Fantasy football starts and have our danger zone when the fantasy show continues Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
We're back! Fantasy show NFL Week 15. Start sits for the fantasy playoffs, people. Ooh, boy! We got games today, tonight, Monday, and Tuesday as the NFL tries desperately to squeeze everything in to Week 15 and keep this going amongst all the COVID nightmares that's been going all around the world of sports. Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. Get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. We'll continue with our fantasy football start sits for the remaining slate of games and our Danger Zone picks. And Show, we go Bengals versus Broncos. Melvin Gordon, let's begin with the Broncos. Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams both banged up, but both expected to play. It seems like this is maybe going to muddy itself back to that dreaded committee we saw earlier in the year. But if I had to pick one, I'd still go with Javonte Williams.
You know, I actually might go Melvin Gordon here only because I think I had read that Javonte Williams, his injury, so they're both injured, like you said, both questionable, both expected to play, like you say, Andy, but Williams' injury was like a leg injury or something, like a swollen foot or something like that. Melvin Gordon's injury was something he had suffered in the game last week. It was like a sprained thumb or something like that, and he was completely fine. Like he got it pretty early on in that game and finished the game, and he was on a monster day. So I think of the two injuries, which concerns me more for running back, a leg injury or a hand injury? They both concern you, obviously, but I that's the only reason. I feel like I'm going to go with Melvin Gordon. But still, I think you can still start both of them and maybe expect, at worst, an RB2 finish, right? Like those two guys are the
both
the main, RB2s. Yeah, they're the main starts for this offense. Like Teddy Bridgewater, a QB2. Jerry Jeudy, maybe the only pass catcher I would start. I'm passing on Sutton, Patrick. Maybe you can get away with Fant if you're looking a real bind, like if you're in a TJ Hockenson bind like you are, or you're in a Darren Waller bind, for example. Maybe that's like a waiver wire play, but barring that, I think it's really just Jerry Jeudy for me for the Broncos.
And Jeudy even too, like he's the point production just isn't there. I don't blame him. He's got zero receiving touchdowns. He's getting 4 or 5 catches the last couple of weeks, but that's equaling, you know, 9, 10 fantasy points. Like nothing exciting outside of the running backs.
WR3.
And probably a lower end one.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Bengals, and well, I think we kind of know the story there. Now, Joe Mixon's been concerning, and I have him in one of my leagues, and under 10 fantasy points in 2 straight weeks, even with a touchdown 2 weeks ago. Denver's given up the 7th fewest fantasy points to running backs. It's a case again, show where you're going to play Joe Mixon. You're going to play him.
Yeah, you have to.
You got to. But what should we be expecting? And it's not like he's not getting a decent amount. Like 18, 19 carries the last 2 weeks is a okay amount. Like it's a decent amount for a pass-heavy offense. So it's not like he's not getting the opportunity. Just seems like that maybe that offensive line that we were nervous about early in the year starting to come back to earth a little bit.
Well, I think, too, with Mixon, it was just that those particular two games, because it was a loss against the Chargers and a loss against the 49ers, I think, like, just the game script, and like you said, he still got a decent amount of touches. It's just the game script, I think, got away from them, because whenever they got down near the end zone, Joe Burrow just started chucking that ball, right? They kind of had to, because otherwise they were – I mean, they did lose, but otherwise, if they hadn't done that, it would have been even worse defeats, right? So I think that's – like, I'm not super concerned – Denver, I mean, like you say, you have to play him, but you're still going to expect like a lower-end RB1 finish from Mixon today.
Yeah, and then for the wide receivers, you can play all three in different capacities, folks. I personally would rank them T. Higgins, then Jamar Chase, then Tyler Boyd, and put it sort of WR1, 2, and flex. There's just a lot of volume in that passing game.
Yeah, there is. It's enough to sustain all of them. Boyd is still, I think, the third banana there. I would still prefer
Chase.
He's
the Michael Gallup.
Yeah, exactly. Like sometimes he'll pop, but you can't expect it too much. We saw what he did when Higgins was out, and if Higgins ever gets injured, then you want to be picking up Tyler Boyd like right away, if that's ever all humanly possible. But yeah, Chase and Higgins, they're tied for the team lead in red zone targets with 12. So I mean, they're both startable on a week in, week out basis.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Falcons versus 49ers. For the Falcons, you know my guy, Cordarrelle Patterson. He just in Yahoo leagues, the dual position eligibility, wide out running back, so good. You can pop him in anywhere. The guy just keeps getting you fantasy points. That's he's the 25th ranked overall player in all of fantasy football. What an absolute stud. Mike Davis has sneakily worked himself back up to like a low-end RB2. Like, you don't want to necessarily play him, but at least he's going to give you those low double-digit fantasy points, which in some cases at least gives you some, you can have a sigh of relief of like, okay, at least I'm getting that. He's not going to get me 25 points, but he's not going to get me 2 points.
Yeah, he has a two straight finishes inside the top 24, which is like something you wouldn't have considered, considering we all thought Patterson had like essentially taken over that backfield, right? So, I don't mind it, but again, you know, I hope you have better options than Mike Davis as you go into week one of the fantasy playoffs. Russell Gage, we talked about this guy before last week, but he's worth a flex play, and Kyle
sure
Pitts,
is.
You're still getting him in there as your TE1, but I think beyond that, I think, you know, you're probably sitting Matt Ryan because he doesn't throw many touchdowns. He has the one rushing touchdown on the goal line, but that's kind of it, right? So I think generally speaking, it's just those three guys. And on the 49ers side of things, Andy, Eli Mitchell, I think, is back, right? He is looking to start after missing last week with the concussion, I believe, right?
Yes. So that's it. We've seen a lot of Jeff Wilson Jr. questions and pickups and stuff like that.
Yeah, pass on that.
It just seems like, oh, you know what? Actually, show, hold on now. Uh-oh. Hold on. Concussion knee. He's out.
Eli Mitchell
wow. is out. All concussion right. and knee. Right. So do not play Eli Mitchell. He is out. That's why you tune in, folks. You get the updates, right? Do not play Eli Mitchell. And that's where it comes into like a Jeff Wilson. He just hasn't. It does turn into a bit more of a committee, and you always have that bit of unpredictability when it comes with the 49ers offense.
Well,
Debo Samuel
runs the ball a lot. Like, I think in the last couple of weeks, I think Debo Samuel has had like way more rushes than actual targets through the air, right? He's basically like, for a couple of games, he's been the team's primary ball carrier. So if Eli Mitchell is out, I expect that to stay the same. I think that's going to remain the case for the 49ers against like just an abysmal Falcons defense, right? Like, I know they played decently last week, but I mean, generally speaking, they've been really bad this year. And I mean, the 49ers are going to go out there and stomp Kyle Shanahan's former team, right? So I just think like you can probably start Debo Samuel, Ayuk, and of course you're starting George Kittle, who's just a monster, right? I just like those are the three guys you're starting, and you're going to just expect Samuel to get some rushing work as well.
Exactly. All right, let's move on. Packers versus Ravens. The legendary toe of Aaron Rodgers continues to just, I don't know if it's haunt or just remain. It's weird. I can't get the image of him showing his foot
camera. That was so strange.
He's turned into a really weird dude.
I think he just always has been weird, and we're only finding out about it now. I think that's what
he's
it is.
He's now just really comfortable, and he's just super weird. Yeah. But regardless, he's really good at football. Like, really good. Here's his line from the last 3 weeks.
All right.
Four touchdowns, two touchdowns, four touchdowns, zero interceptions.
Yeah, insane.
My goodness. Against the Ravens, that defense can be beat, folks. It can. The offense is not putting up a lot of points. Lamar Jackson is going to be a game-time decision. Apparently, it's not a high ankle sprain. It's a bone bruise.
Yeah.
Now, listen. Baker Mayfield's playing without a shoulder, pretty much. He's playing, not complaining. Lamar's got a bruise.
Yeah, well, you kind of need your feet to stand up, you know. It was also
Baker's got an injured foot too.
Pretty dirty play from the Browns to injure Lamar too.
Yeah, oof. Twist of gator roll him. JOK, my guy, the rookie defensive rookie of the year.
Are you listening to this, people? Are you listening to this?
Yeah.
To my goodness.
JOK, just with the gator roll. That's right. You can't throw the ball. You're going to get caught with these mobile quarterbacks.
Andy, on the Ravens defense side, no Marlon Humphrey. He's done for the season. That's not new news. That's from a couple weeks ago.
That was last week. Yeah.
So like that's not new news. So the Ravens allow the second most passing yards this year. So like you're never benching Rodgers, but it's just it's a good thing to know because if people were like concerned about that toe, right?
And Adams, of course.
Yeah.
Right?
Adams, like that's... Jones. You're starting all of the usual suspects. You can probably get away with starting AJ Dillon. From an RB2 perspective, but I don't know. Maybe against Lazard and Valdez Scantling and, I don't know, Mercedes Lewis? No. DeGuerra? Nah. No, hard pass. Just start the three main guys, and I think you can get away with Dillon as well.
Yeah, and MVS has a back issue also. That's a bit too... Between him and Lazard, it's like, who are you going to get? It looked like MVS was separating a bit and then wasn't. So for the Ravens... Pence, you know, you're going to have to wait. Is Lamar playing? Is he not? Tyler Huntley, you don't want to play him, but with his legs, it's a case where I think would I play Tyler Huntley over Davis Mills? Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I would play maybe you over Davis Mills right now. I'd play Showa. Can I get a Showa Lee in just player profile into Yahoo?
I'd do it for like $130,000. If I get paid what Kyle Shermer is getting paid, sure, I'd do it.
Your arm talent is at least maybe just slightly below Kyle Shermer,
right?
And probably the same as Pat Shermer, but Tyler Huntley you could play in a desperation spot because of the legs. I do like Devontae Freeman. He has developed into a low end reliable RB2. He's done a very nice job.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. I like him as an RB2. Marquise Brown is going to play, but. I mean, if Lamar doesn't play, I would stay away from Brown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if Lamar does play, then maybe you can get him in there, but still expect a lower point total because he's probably going to see Jair Alexander today. But generally speaking, if Huntley is in there, he tended to look more towards like Rashad Bateman, right? So I think and you're always starting Mark Andrews. He's been ridiculous, right?
To.
So you're starting Andrews no matter what. But just keep that in mind when it comes to the Ravens offense.
All right, let's go Saints versus Buccaneers. Oh, boy, oh, yeah, it is Taysom Hill time. Taysom Hill, can the Buccaneers defense stop him? Like, yeah, but when it comes to fantasy show, it almost doesn't kind of matter. As long as he has his legs, he doesn't need his hand. You know, we saw a game where Taysom Hill threw four interceptions, threw for two, and ran for 100 yards. And he had, that's a great fantasy day. Real life, he's the worst. He's terrible, and he's a vulture, and he's just fantasy poison. But damn it, he gets your fantasy points. I'd feel, you know, again, is he your first choice? No. Is he better than a lot? Yes. Could he have an awful day? Absolutely, and it could still turn out well. I'm fine. I think for the Saints, it's a short conversation. For me, it's Taysom Hill, and it's Alvin Kamara. That's it.
Yeah, you're not starting any pass catchers because Taysom Hill doesn't throw the ball like with enough irregularity to make you feel comfortable,
no.
Right? So it's pretty much those two guys. And on the Bucs, I mean, that's also a pretty short conversation because you're starting, whereas you're not starting very many people for the Saints, you're starting everyone for the Buccaneers, right? Like you can start Tom Brady, you can start Leonard Fournette, you can start Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and Gronk. I did see that Antonio Brown will return to the team this week after the suspension for the falsified COVID stuff. So
vaccine card.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think if you make it to week two of the fantasy playoffs, you might feel good about starting AB next week. But this week, yeah, it's all the usual suspects. And the Bucs have been on a roll lately, right? So you're starting all those guys.
Yep, Rashad Perryman put on the COVID list. I wouldn't have minded him, actually, because he hit double-digit last week, and he showed a couple years ago he can be a relied-on guy. As a third option, Rashad Perryman has been in spots, made a nice little career for himself out of that type of role, but he is not available due to COVID. All right, now the main event of the week.
Ugh.
Monday, 5 p.m., baby. Ooh. Supper time. Give me a big old plate of Raiders versus Browns. And here's the thing, show, especially for Cleveland. Baker Mayfield and or Case Keenum could be available. Both might not be available. You could be with Nick Mullins. They signed Kyle Laletta from the practice squad, as well to have on tap. I think for Jarvis Landry's not around. That whole COVID situation is just out of control. I think you make it a really short list for the Browns, and it is just Nick Chubb. Oh, by the way, you're also missing two starting offensive linemen.
Yeah, I think maybe if you want to be on the safe side, maybe roster Dearness Johnson, because I think people may have dropped him after Kareem Hunt came back.
Yeah.
I think
get him on, which
is valid, right? But now that Hunt is injured and I think he's on the COVID IL list too, I think you want to at least roster Dearness if you're a Nick Chubb owner at the very least, right?
Even
if you're not, we've had the conversation about handcuffs and so on before, but I think it's a short conversation with those guys. And then on the Raiders, again, like probably pretty short, right? Because no Darren Waller, so that means Foster Moreau, I guess, could fill in a pinch, but he hasn't done too much.
Done anything.
Yeah, it's really just Hunter Renfrow, which we talked about before, and Josh Jacobs. You know, he sees a lot of pass game work, so I would say he's an RB2 with some upside for more. But generally speaking, like, you're not benching Josh Jacobs at this point. You know what I mean? Like, he's been he's healthy, so you're starting him. Given the COVID stuff and injuries and so on, there's no way you cannot start Josh Jacobs. No matter who the opponent is, basically.
He's done a nice job. Then it's Hunter Renfrow. Derek Carr flashed at times, QB1 availability, but you just can't. The touchdowns, the passing touchdowns and stuff is just not there.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can do that. Renfrow and Jacobs, that's it. Vikings versus Bears we're looking at here. Adam Thielen's health is one to track. Apparently it's going to go right up to game time. So have KJ Osborne on your roster if you can. We see if Thielen is out, Osborne can go off. So look for him. Obviously Justin Jefferson as the pass catching options show for Minnesota.
Yeah, and I'll look over to the Bears here. I'll just say this. I think you can...
And Dalvin Cook, of course.
Yeah, of course, Dalvin Cook. Yeah, you don't need us to tell you that. Justin Fields, I don't mind the matchup. Obviously, you want other options. If you have a better option, like you have a Josh Allen or you have the top quarterback options or what have you, you're playing those guys, don't get me wrong. But if you're in a pinch and Justin Fields, you're in a 2QB league and you're wondering whether or not to start him, I think given how bad the Vikings defense has been, especially their secondary, I wouldn't mind starting Justin Fields given the flashes and his rushing upside. I'm not saying he's going to be the QB1 on the week or anything, but I like what Justin Fields can bring this week. So I think I'd go with him. You're starting David Montgomery because he owns the backfield.
Yes.
You're starting Darnell Mooney because of his connection with Fields, and he's probably a WR2 this week. But that's probably it, I'd say.
Well, with Allen Robinson out with COVID,
yeah,
especially for Mooney, because Mooney's taken a step back the last couple weeks, but I think with Robinson out, that is the a good play-in to make sure that you get Mooney in your lineup. All right, Seahawks versus Rams. And, man, Seattle is just – I think they're just waiting to blow things up in some way, shape, or form here, Show. This is pretty ugly. I feel okay with Rashad Penny going in there this week. Like,
monster
he had a career day
last week. Good God.
Yeah, like, Collins looks flat. Could he come in and split the backfield? Absolutely.
Well, Collins on the COVID. Did he come off the COVID list? He was on the COVID list, but I don't know if he's come off yet. I freely admit. I know Lockett and Collins had been on the COVID list, but I don't know if they've come off yet.
Now, let me see, because this game is one of the Tuesday ones.
Yeah.
So he is vaccinated. It says he is could be. They said could be ready if he gets a negative test.
Okay.
That's here's the thing. That's the issue with the Tuesday game.
Yeah.
He could or he could not. No, nobody knows. We don't know. So I think you go with, and again, there's always the risk that if it's in the building, maybe Penny tests positive later today or on Monday, right? Like there is that risk. But right now, I think you go Rashad Penny. I feel like Metcalf, he's like, it's not his fault. You can't, like, you're in a spot where maybe you don't want to play him, but do you have another choice? Lockett's been pretty good just sort of overall. But guess what? He's on the COVID list, Show. Yeah. Like there's just not a lot of options. So I think you go Metcalf. That's why I'm hoping my pickup of Gerald Everett at tight end, based on nobody else being available, pays off.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at this. I mean, if Jalen Ramsey, I believe, has come back from the COVID list, we heard last night that he found out during the Patriots Colts game that he's going to be good. So if Lockett doesn't play and Jalen Ramsey does play, Gerald Everett might be a good play because obviously Ramsey's going to be locked up with good old DK for most of that game, you would imagine, right? So I think that's just something to track, but I mean, that's something that with the information we have right now, I would still say start DK and Tyler Lockett if Lockett is available. But of course, right now, Lockett's on the COVID IL list. And on the Rams side of things, yeah, I mean,
they're getting people back from COVID.
Like, we know Odell is back from COVID. Van Jefferson, I still think, is a decent start. You're starting Cooper Kupp either way. The guy's a freaking monster. My goodness, what a monster's performance. He's going to be like a second-round pick next year, probably. Yeah. Maybe even a late first-round pick, but yeah.
Henderson's back in the backfield as well, so that takes away Sony Michel, I think. So, again, it's a Tuesday game, folks. So you got to keep track.
You
got to track that.
You really do.
Last one of the week, Washington football team versus the Eagles. The quarterback situation there is going to play a lot. Taylor Heineke, COVID. Kyle Allen, COVID. But it's Tuesday, so, again, one or both could be back. You're going to have to wait. If you get a Shermer or a Gilbert or something, I don't know how you play any of the wide receivers. I guess you have to put Terry McLaurin in. You put Gibson in, no matter what, and track the concussion status of McKissick. But I would try to avoid that. Jalen Hurts, if he plays for the Eagles, book it. Goddard, yes. And I think, who else? Devonta Smith, I guess, right?
Yeah, Devonta Smith. It. I like Smith because the Washington has so many injuries. Like, even without COVID, they have tons of injuries, right? So I like Devonta Smith because they give up the second most, I believe, fantasy points to wide receivers on the year. So, I mean, again, it's tough to predict because Hurts, it's a little iffy when him throwing the ball, but the two pass catchers really are Goddard and Smith. And yeah, also I will say this, if the Eagles defense is available on your waiver wire, I don't hate that play because if it is the Kyle Shermers of the world playing, I mean, boy, I just picked up the Eagles defense in one of my leagues. They were just sitting on the waiver wire, so I just grabbed them. So if that's an option for you and right now and you can afford to have the bench space, I say why not? Give it a roster them for now. You can always drop them if you feel like they're not a good play.
I'm with
Tuesday.
You. I'm with you. All right, let's finish off with a trip to the danger zone.
Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Danger's my middle name.
Danger Zone!
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
And so are we, Baker Mayfield, finishing it off. Danger Zone pick of the week. I'm going to go to Buffalo, and I think it's Gabe Davis. A Gabriel Davis Show. I'm saying 90 receiving yards and a touchdown for Gabriel Davis. We've seen, I don't know how many catches it is. We see him be the deep ball. Josh Allen likes him. Sanders is banged up. He is the next target next to Stephon Diggs and Dawson Knox. I think 90 and a tutty for Gabriel Davis.
Danger. I like it. I like it, Andy. You're sticking in. I'm going to stick around in the AFC East for my danger zone pick. I will say Michael Carter comes off the, not the COVID IL, but the IR to return list. Comes off that list. He scores at least 17 fantasy points today and gets a touchdown. So I think that basically will mean Michael Carter is probably one of the better running backs in this week 15, your first round of the playoffs. So you know what? That's my pick, Michael Carter. You go, Gabriel Davis. I just want to say to everyone, Andy, good luck in week one of the fantasy playoffs. Good luck, yeah. And also, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays to everyone. I can't wait to talk to everyone on Boxing Day.
Yes, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. We'll see you next week. Keep the questions coming, too, at AndyMCD1, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. We will try to work through this together, folks, for the fantasy football questions. But Happy Holidays. We will talk to you next week.